Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Let's go, girls. Welcome to Pummel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are we doing, girls?
Dude, I had my first cold shower of the season just earlier today. Girls, I am in the best possible mood.
You look so bright. And I know you had to be at work at like 5 a.m. So
2 days in a row. Two days in a row.
But look at that face. Be me.
I know.
Cold shower. Cold shower.
Cold shower.
Someone came in prepped to be happy this week.
And is that even the thing that's making you happy?
It is not.
Oh, shit.
It is innovator.
Leah, you're kind of doing two things that are making you happy.
Wow, and someone was really negative about others of us doing more than one thing.
And maybe pipe in some booze here.
Yeah, you can pipe in some booze.
Or pipe in some, like the audience being like, ooh. You know, it's like they're just like, whoa, someone's a hypocrite. That kind of thing. Well, before we get to your what's making me happy, Leah, we do have just one little bit of pod business. As you guys know, in the past, we have said if you leave us a 5-star review somewhere, we will watch the match or interview or whatever of your choice. And we do have some of those outstanding, and they've been outstanding for a while just because of our rough lives. But
it was a really hard winter. We interviewed the Young Bucks. We couldn't recover.
We've been posting on that for a while. We actually interviewed the Young Bucks, so don't bother us about that. There was a lot of stuff going on. But we are planning to do a Twitch stream with, I don't know if it's all or most of our remaining.
We can't. Yeah. No, we can't, unfortunately, do all. We have eight. We have eight in the tube. Can?
Let's go with tube. I like it. Kind of fallopian. Yeah. We have eight in the fallopian tube.
Eight in the tube. It's like going to get injected into something. Yeah.
It's funny because the tunnel was right there. You know?
It's eight in the tunnel.
Eight in the tunnel. But a tunnel and a tube are the same.
Eight at gorilla.
So true.
And what is gorilla if not an ovary?
Many are saying that.
You are prying third eyes open all across this great nation of ours.
This is why the wrestling community doesn't want women involved.
This is why they work so hard to keep us out.
This is why we must be here.
They say, gorilla's like the ovary. Put that no girls allowed sign back up.
You can put it up as many times as you want, but a sign can easily be taken down.
We're going to keep Kool-Aid Man through that wall. Don't even worry about it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, so anyway, Leah, you have ownership over this item. Leah's going to read the... So it won't be all of them.
It won't be everybody. So
we won't have interviewed the Young Bucks, so we'll be back at it.
We'll be back. We'll be quicker. We're going to get back to this, yeah. So on the 22nd, we're going to watch the suggestions from Rambo and Slam Pick, our favorite. Cinema Martial Arts. Oh, that's a play on words. I love that.
We do it live, folks. We do it live.
And C from email. So those four are next. And then the Doc Tail Dan group is going to be next time.
Okay, when we'll get to that.
We'll get to that
again sooner than we got to this batch.
If you did not hear your name said just now, check into this to make sure we didn't lose you.
I love this field trip energy.
Get your buddy. Yeah, if you didn't hear your name and you've submitted one, just let us know.
Just reach out and let us know. It's never our intention to miss anything, but we all are very absent-minded. So if you ever think, you know, they ignored me, no. We forgot.
We're very, very, you know, absent-minded, dumb girls.
We're dumb. So don't worry about that. Okay. So that's June 22nd. It'll be a live Twitch stream, and it'll go up as a bonus episode as well. Leah, what's making you happy this week?
What's making me happy is the return of Marty and Sarah.
Oh, that's such a nice one.
Our beloved friends, the people that inspired us to make this podcast, yeah, have come back after a 2-year hiatus. Their podcast is no longer going to be solely about wrestling. In fact, both of the episodes I listened to were quite barely about wrestling, but I was obsessed with them because they just started the episode and started chit-chatting and then ended the episode an hour and a half later. And I was like, this is amazing.
Chit-chat never stopped.
And it like really made me like feel really good because like there are times where I get self-conscious when our chit-chat time goes more than 10 minutes. I'm like, that's too long. People are going to get irritated. And I'm like, no, I genuinely just listened to them like discussing how much Marty likes to cut grass now. And like that they love the movie. They loved the movie My Blue Heaven and talked about it, I think, for like 45 minutes.
I'm so obsessed with that.
I know. And I was like, I loved every single second of it. So I need to just chill and be like, you know, you love when people talk about your their personal lives. You love your, you know, parasocial friends who don't know you exist. You like, calm down. People will fast forward if they have to. But like, it was just a really nice moment where I was like, I loved them. They've shaped a lot of like, they were the people that we were like, oh, not everybody in the IWC is focused on, you know, boring stuff. Like,
yeah,
they, you know, they know how to have fun. And it's like, I miss them. I miss them so much. And now I know all about their new animals. And I know about the house in Wisconsin. And I know about, you know, they both sound so much better towards the end there. They were
They were dealing grim with a lot of stuff.
Had some rough times. And so the two of them, like, Marty was almost buoyant. And I was like, I'm so happy.
I know. I have to go into the office tomorrow, so that's my commuter treat.
I literally was like, I was excited for them to come back, but then I turned it on, and like within seconds of hearing their voices, I was like, I am having such a huge like emotional reaction, especially because they do seem like they're doing great. But it was just like, these are my podcast friends. These are my podcast friends who ushered me like into wrestling, I miss them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man, that's such a nice. What's making me happy? I'm happy now. I can't wait to listen to them. If any of our listeners, if you haven't listened to Marty and Sarah, they're just the best. They're so great.
If you like chit chat time.
Yeah. If you like chit chat time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what an amazing note to start our little episode on. Are you guys ready to talk graps?
Actually, I don't know. I am.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, as I said it, I was like, I actually don't think I described any graps in my schedule, so I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I got a little scared.
In fact, multiple places I said no one could expect us to discuss the match. And I don't know if it was like, I don't know. So it's Thursday, June 5th. And yesterday we were, and again, I'm not trying to sound like Brian Alvarez, but we were subjected to four hours of wrestling, which I feel like everybody understands. It's like, you know, we don't do this as a paid job. Okay.
No,
we have other jobs that we have to go to that are riding our asses right now.
That we have to get up early in the morning to go to.
It was a wild little feeling too. I watched all the first 2 hours, obviously. And then I was like, okay, I'm doing some stuff, but I'm still watching. I'm hanging in there. And then slowly I'm just like drifting towards bed. And I was like, I'll put it on the TV. And I'm just like falling asleep. Like, okay, what time is it? 10:45. Goodbye, Tony. Goodbye. Goodbye. Oh, it was Tony wonderful to see you. Goodbye.
Sang you to sleep.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, but for some reason, like, I don't know. I think the matches might have been good, but they weren't very memorable. So... I don't know.
If they wanted to hold me for all 4 hours, the card that they came up with was never going to be it.
No.
And it really, like, yeah, they really wanted me to, but it seemed like they did it by, like, pacing things weird, and they didn't really have more women's matches. So,
they certainly didn't. In fact, I felt like they had less than a normal 2-hour, really, but...
It's like, I would have loved to see, like, Chris Statlander in there or something, but whatever. You can,
well, Ian, we'd all love to see things, okay? But Tony doesn't love to show them to you.
So. No, he doesn't.
They had a very strategic thing where they had Kenny in the bridge of, like, the dynamite to collision. I was like, smart. Everyone's going to stay tuned in for Kenny. And then that ended and it went into FTR. And I was like, be so fucking for real.
And they kept putting that, like, we'll hear from Hangman Adam Page, like, graphic in the bottom corner. Like, they put it there so many times, and I was like, he better be talking right at 10, and he did not, so.
He didn't. I think he must have come out. I'm just putting the pieces together, because I don't know what order anything happened in. I think he must have come out after the FTR. Because the Ospreay match must have been after the FTR match, and that was, and Hangman came out. Well, we're about to get into that, so let's not pre-game the section itself. Last week on Collision. Swerve said he got approached as he was like, he was doing this very funny thing where he and Prince Nana were like walking to the car, and Swerve looked kind of like, this is going to sound totally crazy, but he looked like a kind of a serene, like Mouse Abbott from Redwall. Like he just, and his little like acolyte was walking with him being like, sir, what should we do about the crop issue? And he was being like, well, much to consider there.
I would pay so much money to watch Swerve Strickland react to what you just said.
Yeah.
You looked like a Mouse Abbott.
I think I took a screenshot and then I forgot to put it in the schedule, but I was so pleased with it because he just really looked like, it's like, wow, this man could run an abbey, you know, like, and the feast would be popping off.
Yeah, the most important part of any abbey is the food.
Well, in the Redwall world, yes, that's pretty much what it's all about. Okay, so he's walking to the car. I think it might have, I don't know who interrupted, to be like, what's going on with this Will Ospreay situation? He said, let me clear up this misconception about me and Hangman. I own up to the fact that I deserve whatever I got from Hangman over the past year and a half, but we're not a team, and we never will be. And at this point, Will Ospreay leapt into the frame. He like slammed a hand on the car and said, I've got a question. Who's the bigger friend, Death Riders or Hangman? And actually what he said was not who's the bigger friend. It was who's the bigger threat. But he repeated this line multiple times throughout Dynamite. And every time I heard friend.
Every time. Every it's time. Because the British THR is like SFW. And it does just get like sweat. Fucking crazy. I mean, no offense to our Brits, but that's
talk
crazy.
Like an adult. That's crazy. THs.
I don't know. I could only hear friend. It was so funny to me, but he was saying threat, so that's fine. And so he and Swerve got into this really immediately quite intense close talking segment where he was being like, Swerve, I know you and Hangman have had your problems, but remember when you won the belt and you were the first AEW like black world champion and you were so proud of that and you were so proud of that belt, and now that belt you loved so much is in a briefcase.
I thought that was
you stand it.
I thought that was so funny because it's yet another moment where Will Ospreay is like, let me tell you your life. You may not know this, but you were the first AEW black champion. Did you know that? I knew it. It's very funny.
Extremely also, it's just funny. So funny that like putting the belt in the briefcase is just apparently the most disrespectful thing you can do, and other fans are always talking about it, and it's on screen, and I'm just like, I mean, it seems like an okay way to carry it. I don't know.
It's true that our vibe has increasingly become like, the belt should stay in the briefcase, protecting my peace. I don't want to see that thing. Anyway, so he's like, you should want it to be around the waist of the best wrestler in the world right now, which is Hangman, which was like, girl, this is not the rhetorical strategy to go with.
But also, hello, it's Max Caster.
It's
yeah, our precious United States government has certified it, so.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll get there, girls. Swerve's very upset to hear Hangman's the best wrestler alive.
His voice was so funny on that. When he goes, no, he's not.
No, he's not. It was, they both were in their own ways giving like child on the verge of a full scale breakdown.
Yeah.
And so they're going back and forth about like, they basically were doing this thing where it's like, well, I could beat you. If you could beat Hangman, well, you can't even beat me and you can't beat Hangman. It was just like, okay, boys, I understand. You all want to beat each other. That's very cool. So then they got into this abruptly, got into this like round of extreme fisticuffs, which I think ended with security pulling them apart and Ospreay hollering, same thing, unless he was hollering something else because I don't know what it meant. But I was very interested. And then I said, I think these men need to do a performance of Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better on Dynamite. Live on Dynamite.
Honestly, it's been so long since we've had a little musical number.
I know. I feel like they got yelled at so much, but it's like, I've said it before, the anecdata is here. When my great friend Anna watched that musical segment with MJF and Jericho, she still talks about it and rewatches it to this day. She does not watch wrestling. Re-watching She's like, I it. Love Le Dinner Debonair. All right, so that'll happen on Collision. Then on Dynamite, Ospreay opens with an in-ring promo in which Tony Schiavone is there, and he's like, let me ask a question. Why did you do any of that? Like, why did you think that was, like, a good idea? And Ospreay was like, dude, it is so embarrassing. I'm so embarrassed. Like, it's not like I didn't mean to get into a fight with my literal best friend, Swerve, as everyone knows and has always known. It just wasn't my brightest idea because they hate each other. And truly in that moment, I was like, I do love Will Ospreay so much. That's the thing some don't understand.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't want him to win this time, I'm obsessed with him. To just come out and be like, I'm such a fucking idiot.
I know. And his vibe really is like, but I've just found my passion in life, which is getting Swerve and Hangman to be best friends.
Like, man, you know, sometimes you want something and it's not a good idea, but like, what are you going to do? Not go for it? I'll always go for it. That's a character, baby. And so he said, I just wish they could understand, like, you know, they're not the enemy. Like, the enemy is Jon Moxley. And he said, and if they can just put aside their differences for one night, one bloody night, retrieve the belt, and then kill each other. And this, I said, I thought this was kind of giving, like, Ocean's 11, 3 a.m. emergency heist planning. Like, it was like, he was like, yeah, I'm putting the pieces together. Like, it was just like, well, this isn't much of a plan. I don't understand this plan at all.
Sorry, go ahead, Leah.
No. I was just going to say, the passion that he had is like, he's got a plan where it's like, he needs Hangman for part A, and he needs Swerve for part B, and we can only accomplish the whole thing with them two together. And I just keep being like, now what part will Swerve play in the all-in title match?
Right. It's like, when does slot A need to go in? Tab A need to go. When does Tab A need to go in slot B in order to achieve thing C?
Yeah. The decision that, like, only by working together, the three of us, can we defeat Jon Moxley is like, really?
Right.
But it is like a Jason Mendoza heist plan, you know, from The Good Place, really.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Like, Will Ospreay's climbing into a safe with a snorkel to breathe from, but no hold to put the snorkel out. Yeah.
I can't believe that I don't actually have a clip right now of Ospreay being like, when I get confused, when I get upset about something, I just throw a Molotov cocktail because it's like, boom, then I have a different problem.
It is really giving, like, he's just like, I was watching this amazing documentary the other day. It's about these turtles that live in the sewers. And the whole moral of the documentary was that you have to work together with your friends in order to achieve things. And it was like, that was a cartoon. And this is a really different situation.
I know. It, like, doesn't help either that they keep talking, like, the only way to take down the Death Riders is, like, a lot of us. And it's like,
what?
I don't know. They've been kind of, like, cartoon. Like, I don't get the sense that they're, like, an unstoppable force right now at this point.
No, and also Swerve made a really good point where he was like, I did that already. I did it in Anarchy. I'm not doing it anymore. It's like, yeah, it didn't work already.
Yeah. Okay, so then, let's see. Okay, yeah, so Ospreay
and
is, like...
To be clear, I'm so sorry. To be clear, all of this is complimentary. I feel like it's coming off in any way critical. It's not. It's the greatest time
Who
of my life.
Who could take that from our tones? Who could possibly take that from our tones? It's like, I love watching it. And it's like, everything that Ospreay is doing, except when he, like, initiates fisticuffs, at which point I'm like, that's crazy. But everything else, I'm just like, this is right. This is who you are. Like, you have to lean into this. You're a well-intentioned idiot.
Yeah. And honestly, like, if you want to bring Hangman and Swerve together in the storyline, what better way to do it than to be like, well, we're going to have Will Ospreay decide that they need to do it because it's so dumb.
Oh, totally.
It will make complete sense from everyone.
What can they bond over? Will Ospreay repeatedly locking them in broom closets. Nothing to do in there except be like, seems like your friend fucking sucks. We have to dump that guy.
Which, do you notice that every time it's Osprey being like, Swerve, we're best friends, and Swerve doesn't even do a facial twitch about it? There's never a point where Swerve is like, yes, I acknowledge you as my friend.
No.
No.
He has not acknowledged it.
Do you think backstage, like, all of the, like, erstwhile Will Ospreay friends are like, yeah, he decided, like, Kenny's saying to Swerve, like, yeah, he decided I was his best friend for a while, and it was, like, yeah, it was a lot, you know?
Kenny's like, Swerve, don't even acknowledge it. Don't. Yeah. Like, if you give him an inch,
he'll take a mile. Oh, my God, Will Ospreay. Okay, Will Ospreay in a... if you give a mouse a cookie style children's book. It's like if you give a Will a handshake.
If you give a Will a handshake.
I don't know
if you let Will sit at your lunch table.
I don't know why I was so convinced you were about to say if you give Will a hand job.
Okay, well, I mean, if a handshake initiates this level of excitement, I don't know what a hand job would do. Unsafe situation. He's planning your wedding. Okay. So he's being like, he said to Swerve, he said, listen to me and listen to me clear. I love you, brother. But before I take a bullet for you, I will take a bullet for AEW. I said, you'll take a bullet for anything. You would take
literally anything.
You take a bullet for a moth. Like, you're dying to take a bullet for something.
Well, look, the moth landed on him and it was a real gesture of friendship. Okay. So I don't think you should put that down. It's his literal best friend for the last 20 years.
So anyway, he was like, Swerve, come fight me next week at Summer Blockbuster. Have we had a Summer Blockbuster before?
I don't think so.
I keep getting
sound familiar.
I keep getting, it's so normal. It's totally normal for them to do, it's, that's fine. Every time they say it, I'm like, Blockbuster? They went out of business. Blockbuster. My friend Blockbuster, we're going to the video store? No.
Oh, man. If only. They had to have a name for it because it's going to be 4 hours again.
Fuck my life.
Is that what happened?
Fuck my life. Well, put me to sleep again, Tony Khan. My little lullaby.
We're always telling Tony to gaslight us and diss us, so he's just going to keep naming dynamites until we finally give in and say they're all 4 hours.
What if this one did have, like, a VHS theme, though? That'd be so fun.
I'd love it if it was a full Blockbuster theme, yeah.
Hear me and hear me well, Tony Khan. If you do a full Blockbuster video store theme, VHS theme, somehow VHS's, cassettes are everywhere, tape is flying, I'll stay up for all 4 hours. If it kills me.
Wow. That's a promise. That's, yeah. And honestly, like, what if he gives us a full Blockbuster experience where basically, like, the camera just goes and it browses through all the possible matches there could be, and it just tells us, like, you read the back of the match, and then you're like, huh, and you put it back, and you just do that for, like, 2 full hours, and then you go home without watching any matches.
Right. And then 20 years later, when people are saying, like, well, you know Eyes Wide Shut, and I'm like, I do know it from reading the back of it so many times at the video store.
I've seen that front picture,
When I already said this on this podcast. Then I finally watched Eyes Wide Shut and was like, what the fuck? I thought I knew that movie from the picture, but I didn't. Guys, I didn't know it at all.
And the fun thing about a Blockbuster browse, like, in middle school, my friends and I, we rented Muriel's Wedding, which said it was a comedy on the box.
It's Australian.
It's not a comedy. Yeah, and it's not funny at all. It's actually pretty dark. And if you watch it the whole time waiting for it to get funny, you'll have a strange experience of that movie.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, you can't just turn it off. Once you paid for the VHS, hey, guys, children, listen up. Once you paid for the VHS, it was just like, well, I'm watching this. One time we accidentally, we tried to rent something like normal for children, and we got Paper Moon instead. And it was just like, well, we're at our sleepover.
That Tatum O'Neill movie?
So I guess we just have to watch Paper Moon.
I mean, what else are you going to do? Like, the only other option you have is, like, live TV, which you may or may not have had cable, you know? So
we had a lot of, my dad was always, like, taping stuff over for us. So we had a lot of, like, old Star Trek episodes and stuff. But
yeah, so my dad also was extremely addicted to taping stuff off TV. So, like, I think to this day, my parents' basement is still full of, like four VHS tapes of Salem's Lot with just his handwritten.
My mother was an early pirate where she had a camcorder set up. Children, that's what we used to use as video. We used to take videos with it. Yeah. And she had this setup going where she would put the Blockbuster video in the camcorder and connect that via aux and then record from the VCR.
Wow. Yeah.
So once we watched it once, we would have it forever on a blank tape. And so we had an insane collection of VHS, and no one was more disappointed when VHS stopped being cool because she was like, my library.
Despite the FBI warning at the start of all those
tapes.
Good for
her. You would have
hired it. I would download a car.
Yes, I fucking would. We had the same situation, except I think my dad's one thing was he was like, I'm not going to buy infinite blank tapes. So it was kind of like, if you want, at a certain point, it was like, okay, like, yes, we could record Rainbow Bright to video for you, but what's going to get deleted? Because it's going to be something here, Alexander. And it's like, no, my collection. The Man Before Time can't go. I need that.
I wish that my mother could reach out in time to your father and tell your father that they sell blank VHS at the dollar store and you can have infinite blank tapes.
See, that wasn't his feeling. Wow. I was honestly, my mother cleared them all out like, you know, 10 years ago or something. I was devastated. Like, I was just like, those are my memories. Like, how am I supposed to understand those films if they're not on the same tape anymore? Like, I don't know who I am so now.
Okay. What are we talking about?
I think chit chat time and how cool it is and how people have to put up with it. You know, they have no choice. Something about Blockbuster Summer. Okay, so then Osprey was like, I'm going to fight Swerve at Blockbuster Portland. Then he gets interrupted by Leo Rush and Action Andretti, who make fun of him for getting interviewed. They're like, oh, so fun of you cozying up to Tommy Schiavone in the ring. It's like, it's Tommy an interview, Schiavone. And if you were famous, you would have them.
Yeah, like you guys would kill to get some live mic time in ring.
I know, I'm like, I hear a jealous note. Like, you wish you were in that ring with Tommy Schiavone. Right. But then Osprey just seemed really excited that someone was willing to engage with him. So he threw his arm around Tony Schiavone's shoulders and he was like, Leo Rush, I'd love to fight you because we're here in Denver. We're sold out. I've got my fake tan on and I have my crime fighting pants upstairs. Yes, he was very orange. Very orange.
His face looked crazy. And they were kind of, he hadn't gotten it real close to his eyes either. Loved it.
No, it was great stuff. And so then he's going to fight Leo Rush later. Okay, is there anything there? Hair. He had gotten a haircut, but more importantly, he hadn't flat ironed the hair. I want to say that's the main.
Thank God.
Many have been talking about this hair situation in cut terms.
His girlfriend or his wife, are they married?
The wife, I think.
The missus. The missus. Was told him he had to cut it. And it was. And I think we're united. You don't have to cut it. You just have to stop flat ironing it.
Yeah. I was thinking about it today. I was like, because his excuse kept being, it's at an awkward stage of being grown out, which is like, but the flat iron again is the problem.
That's the problem.
But then I was like, with it longer, was it approaching like white boy afro territory? So then he was flat ironing it to try to get rid of it or something?
I don't think like, so because I don't his understand. Hair doesn't get that much volume. I think
I don't know. At that end of that match last night, it was really puffy.
But that is because of the cut he got, because I think what he did was, I mean, you know, I could be wrong, but if I had to guess, I would say that he got like a good curly cut, and basically they're giving you a lot of layers so that the curls don't clump together. So that's why you're getting more of that volume. It's not necessarily, it doesn't have to look like, I mean, I thought it looked really nice, it looked great, but I was like, you might have needed a cut, but it's about layers, it's not about length. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is very funny to imagine, like, the situation is that Osprey has to go find a hairdresser and be like, step thing one, I have curly hair. Please, you have to cut my hair for curly hair.
You have to cut my hair. First of all.
Two, I get really sweaty. And
professionally,
very sweaty.
Sweaty. Yeah.
So it has to look good when I've been exerting myself and flipping. It's like, do you have any specialists who are aware of that?
I mean, I think it looks really nice. I think it's just don't flat iron. You know what I mean? It's like, just get you just got to go to a curly stylist and you got to get a cut for the curls. You know, that's all it is. And you look great. But I just don't want him to feel like I can't grow it out. You can grow it out. Don't flat iron it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Like, look at Hangman. He's grown it out. He never resorted to flat ironing.
Hair looks beautiful. All right. Okay, later we have this backstage segment where Osprey is getting interviewed by Lexi Nair. MJF interrupts, and he says, I want to be clear, I'm getting in here because I want to help you. You need to stay out of Swerve and the Cowboys' business, dude. And then he goes into, I'm going to read this whole thing because I want us to try and unpack this together, okay? If you take Swerve out when he could have taken out Cowboy, his chances of winning the world title drastically go up. And to make matters worse, if you can actually get them to get along well, then Cowboy's a shoo-in to win the world title, question mark. And maybe you don't remember because he knocked you clean the hell out at Double or Nothing, but you can't beat Hangman. And if he wins the world title, you're not gonna. Buddy, these two guys, they're animals. You know what you do with animals? You let them eat each other. Not me. That's not something I've ever done with animals. So let's start there, okay?
The fact that everyone seems to have decided that if Swerve and Hangman team up, boy, they'd be unstoppable.
But it's like, just like... Especially because it's like, okay, it is a singles match, though. That's the one thing I'm going to say. It's like, it is a singles match. Yeah. I'm not saying... I think it's fun for Swerve to be able to help Hangman in some way win the title, to be his backup, to like... I think that's fun for their story. I'm not objecting to it. I just think it's crazy for everyone to be like, oh, if they make up, boy, howdy, there's no way Hangman could lose a singles match. If he has the thrill of that erotic consummation, no, he will win.
So, Osprey, if you've got your paws on the bed and they're going at it, like, they're going to take Moxley out, no problem.
It's so funny to imagine, like, it's like, if Hangman got laid perfectly, even one time, it's like fucking Angel from Buffy.
One moment of perfect happiness,
it's over for the Death Riders.
You have cracked it over.
You cracked
that's
it.
What,
now it all makes sense to me.
That's what MJF especially knows. That actually, Osprey, I don't think he even knows that. He's on his own planet. MJF does know. He's like, if Hangman and Swerve consummate, then Angelus comes out to play, and no one would ever lose to Angelus.
It's over. It's all over.
Okay, I'm fully on board. I love it now. I want to see Angelus.
And I'd love them to really, really go deeper into this where Osprey is more determined than ever to get Swerve and Hang into the fuck.
Yeah,
MJF is like, we have to stop it. Like, no. I tried to rally other troops to stop them from fucking. And Hangman and Swerve are like, what is going on?
It's too bad that Hangman did already turn heel and turn back, because actually it would be so perfect for Hangman to win the bell and then be like, and now,
instead of an Angelus, you are a queen. I wish that OC wasn't out injured, because and that he could come back as his like original character in this whole thing, just to have like MJF going to him and being like, we can't have Hangelus unleashed on the backstage, and to just have OC like looking off screen at like Chuck Taylor just like, why the fuck am I getting asked about this? Okay, we can't have Hangelus. All right, what are we talking about? Okay, yeah, it does make sense. But now it does. We made it make sense. We filled that hole. Okay, MJF retaliate. Oh, yeah, so Osprey was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to leave now. And MJF was like, I know your child's name. And so then Osprey was like, well, then I'll attack you. So he attacks him, but the Hurt Syndicate is there, and they're surrounding him, so he kind of has to back off. And he has a little, like, I don't know, there were two things going on. MJF was trying to keep talking, and MVP shut him up. That's a dynamic. And then also Bobby Lashley was getting in Ospreay's face, and that was a dynamic. And I thought to myself, pause. Ospreay is not going to ever lose a match to Bobby Lashley, though. We wouldn't do that. That would be crazy.
That would infuriate me on so many levels. It would infuriate me on the level where I'm like, I am not someone who's like, Ospreay can't ever lose, but I'm like, that would be humiliating.
You can't do that.
Bobby Lashley is 150 years old. Second of all, we in AEW have a rich tradition of tag teams do not win when they're separated.
No. Mm-hmm. That's how we play.
If Bobby Lashley has a singles match, he has to lose it because he's only strong when he's with his husband. That is AEW. Play along.
I haven't even been convinced that they're husbands, though. I mean, that's one sick thing about that tag team. I don't know what their relationship is. Just old friends?
No. They seem like contractors.
Contractors. They met last year.
That's so sick. That makes me want to puke. You're so right, Leah. You're so right. I will say, now here's an argument. If you put Ospreay and Bobby Lashley in a singles match, that's the most you've got my Glock like moment that that Ospreay is going to get from me ever. And I already love him. I'm just like, if you make that man lose, Tony, you will regret it for the rest of your live long days.
I know that Dave Meltzer would be furious, and for once in my life, I'd be with him. I'd be at his side.
We're holding hands. We're holding hands.
we're in your army. There's no way this should happen.
Finally, we joined the Meltzer army. I want to be in Meltzer's army. A war man, I guess. Okay. Let's vote.
Do you think with the MJF threatening Ospreay's child, was just talking about Hangman and Swerve enough to remind MJF that there was some homework he hasn't cheated off of yet?
Got his ass in. Got his ass. Like,
in a couple weeks, all of a sudden, there'll be a video montage of MJF dropping a scarf into a crib, and we're all supposed to be like, wow, innovative.
Wow, genius. There's a shot of generational talent.
Like MJF setting a house on fire, but it's clearly like green screen footage. you're right. There's no homework he won't steal. Okay. Any other thoughts on MJF being involved in this at all, which I don't like personally.
I don't like it at all.
It's a no thank you.
I fear it. I'm scared. Yeah. One fear.
I know. I really do. I feel very strongly that it's going to be Hangman, and I'm resolving that I'm no longer trying to game things out. I'm just, you know, believing what I'm seeing and rooting for the things that I'm rooting for. But I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
If MJF causes Hangman to lose at All In, which I will be in the crowd for, I will suffer. And I will make everyone suffer.
That's the greatest threat of all. I will suffer. And you wouldn't want me to suffer. I'm just a little guy.
I'll take you all down with me. Yeah. When I go down, you'll all come down.
Honestly, Tony, I don't want to. It's like, I don't want to suffer, and I don't want to endure Leah's suffering, you know? So I think it would be for the best maybe if we just, like, didn't have that happen, you know? And maybe Swerve will over. I don't want Swerve to have to engage with MJF, really, but it's like maybe Swerve will stop him. You know, I don't know.
Maybe MJF could go into some kind of Cody-verse, you know? Oh, God. And maybe it could be on a different show, and maybe I wouldn't have to see it.
Of course I would love to be on, like, the Hurt Syndicate to move to Collision full time.
Or to move to, like, American Slap Fight, or what, you know, one of those. Yeah,
or SmackDown, Raw, those would be fine.
Raw, SmackDown, yes. Get them over there.
NXT, you know?
Why don't we ever get to have little Red Rover, you know, like, Red Rover segment, where it's like, Triple H, we actually have some guys we'd love to send back over. We'd love to send them over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, we'll trade you Mariah May for all four of these men.
Oh, right. We sent her over. I was like, well, I don't really need her back. But now I understand it. Right?
No, I'd take anybody would back if they'll take those four.
Yeah, they'd send her back.
I would say I would take her back.
You'd take her back.
I mean, not to get into it. I'm not weighing into that discourse. But I'm just saying if we're trading action figures.
Yeah, we are.
Triple H.
Or they're like Pogs. Should we go really 90s tonight? They're like Pogs. Yes. We are.
Love that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and what happened there? Who could never be sure? Ospreay and Leo Rush then had their match on Collision, which is right after Dynamite. And Ospreay won despite attempted interference from Action Andretti. But then they did both beat up Ospreay afterwards, and Hangman ran out to save him. And he was trying to do a buckshot on Action Andretti, which I think Leo Rush pulled him out of the ring so he didn't get hit. But this was a really godly buckshot. Like, sometimes I just, once again, it's like, you know, not to like dig up discourse or whatever, but sometimes like he'll be going to do it and I'm like, God, it seems like it's so easy to fuck up. What if he fucks it up? And then he never fucks it up. And
he never does.
This one especially, it was just like, fuck, you look so cool. And then I just think about CM Punk doing those. And it's just like, if I were you, I'd never have tried. Like, that means that you have something really, really wrong in the old brain that you were like, I'll just
you
try
thought
it.
You could.
It's gotta be easy. I'll just do it. It's like, you're so stupid.
And more than that, whenever I think about him fucking up the buckshot, I just think of Matt making fun of that moment and him just sitting on the floor going,
I know.
Me? Oh. How did this happen to me?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Honestly, one of the greatest moments of CM Punk's tenure in AEW, I think.
It was, it's like what do they say? The wizard is a man. You know what they say about the Wizard of Oz.
You know what they say, the wizard is a man.
Hey.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Mask off. Whatever. Okay, so then...
The wizard is a man. You know it. We all say it.
Do you think I've, like, never once remembered... There was something last week that I said really fucked up, and you guys made fun of me, which was totally fair, and then later I was just like, okay, the thing I was going to say actually was... I was referencing something really normal. Not in the moment, though. Couldn't get it out on the actual recording. The wizard is a man, as we all know. Okay. So anyway, so then Osprey is laid out because he was getting beaten up, and Hangman is crouching over him and just being like, oh, buddy, let's be careful. And he gives him a little pat on his little flank, which you love to see between men. And then
Hangman clearly not talking to Kenny backstage. He's really encouraging this friendship in a way that's probably slightly dangerous for him.
I guess he now has canonically been like, maybe I should talk to Kenny. I haven't really done that. I don't know why. I guess maybe I should. Clearly still hasn't. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. It's so relatable for him to be like, yeah, I should, but I don't really know how to go about it. Somebody keeps slonking around.
Oh, totally. Just like, avoiding it. Like, it's going to be a pretty awkward conversation, and he's really into, like, all that fire stuff. He's got his own stuff going on, you know, with the fire and the, you know. So what am I going to do? Just to get involved in that seems hard. You're right, buddy. I've been there. So Hangman sends Osprey. I'm just going to keep calling it Medbay now. I don't know why it's happening, but... Something clicked for me during the pay-per-view where I was like, where do injured wrestlers go? Med bay.
The thing is, the first time you said it, I knew it was wrong, but I also now immediately can't remember what we used to call it.
No
so
idea.
Now I like I don't have anything to tell
like the medical room, like that can't be right.
The medical room. Osprey, get in your surgery tube.
Get in the surgeon's tunnel.
I think it's just best if we just think of this as like a Star Trek situation. They have medbay, and I'll be calling it medbay, and I would like it if you all just like stay on board. I assume you're on
apparently,
board.
Stay on board. Apparently you're on board. I have to be on board.
You're on board. I need verbal consent, girls.
I love it. It's like they fly a ship from town to town to put on the wrestling shows. Isn't that nice?
I would watch that show for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, when we put on our behind-the-scenes wrestling show at our pumps, I think it should be a medbay Star Trek-y.
Totally. Yes.
It's traveling. Going,
oh, so fun.
Ship. Oh, my God. I would love to watch a little back behind-the-scenes starring the medbay folks.
In this moment, I'm just like, I can't believe that the Joss Whedon TV show Firefly wasn't about a band of traveling wrestlers. That doesn't.
It's crazy that science fiction hasn't really explored the topic
at
more.
All.
Yeah.
Wow. Much to think about.
Everyone really wants to pretend that wrestling doesn't exist, like politely, you know?
That's really
all the rest of culture.
Have you guys ever brought it up with someone and just had them flat out blank you in a way where they're like, I'm not even asking?
My parents, like 20 times.
And I usually get a pretty positive reaction, so then I'll like tell people like freely, but at one job I was like, oh yeah, I watch wrestling, and the two coworkers I was talking to were both like, oh, and then kind of like
changed the subject. Yeah,
there's
that's
very...
happened to me a couple times, and I'm just like, you don't even want to make fun of me.
No,
just...
yeah,
there's a very real stigma. There's a very real stigma.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, it's so hard to keep track of what's happening in this episode, to be honest. They're in medbay. Hangman has sent Osprey to medbay. Then he cuts this promo about how actually he also is like, this doesn't make sense. I don't know why everyone's talking about how I need a team up to win a belt. I don't need anybody's help to win the belt. Like, I'll just win the belt
once again,
on my own.
No one asked. It's not an open invite. Like, I don't want you here.
It is. It's so funny if Hangman knows he has the potential to turn into Angelus, and he's like, I didn't ask.
I know. He's like, guys, I told you I can't have sex. Stop
it. Will Osprey's running around backstage like, who can Hangman have sex with? And Hangman's like, I'm not having sex with anyone.
Okay,
that's not a good idea.
Hangman needs a perfect moment of happiness. Who can give it to him? Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, my God. Okay, and he said he especially doesn't need anyone's help. He doesn't need help from, quote, one of the worst men to ever walk this planet. The crowd is having a response where they're like, we're doing Swerve's house. We actually love Swerve. I thought it was interesting the places that they're in with respect to each other right now, where Swerve keeps emphasizing, like, that he's like, I admit that I did fucked up shit, but I just still don't fucking like you and I don't want to hang out with you. And Hangman still has not quite let go of the, of the fucked up shit.
Yeah. Even though when you think about it, like burning someone's house down might be worse than just breaking in and wandering around. You know?
Do you think that a house is more valuable than a child, Anne?
Well, nothing happened to the child,
but it could have.
Anne's like, your house is where you live, your child, you can have another one.
Anne, corporations are people over there.
Anne, I'm just saying, Anne's like, harm that didn't happen but could have happened. Like, I just...
Anne's like, aren't children just property that don't increase in value?
That's what I always say.
They don't increase in value.
Yeah, they decrease in value of anything.
I think for everyone's safety, we must move on. Mox then appeared in the ring menacing Hangman. Osprey ran out with steel chairs for him and Hangman to fend off the Death Riders. It's like, babe, you're supposed to be in medbay. He's like, when my friend needs me, I doubt it very much.
Again, the behind-the-scenes episode of our medbay show would fucking kill. Because Doc Samson's got, you know, his materials out, and he's like, oh, I'm going to repair you.
Yeah. Yes, amazing. Yes.
It's like in Star Trek like reboot movie, you know, when Jim Kirk is running around with all his like swollen stuff and the guy's chasing after him with the antidote.
I got numb tongue.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. And I was just thinking, like, I love thinking about the Bones character being like, you sit down and you let me repair you, as you've said. And then he's always turning around and being like, guy's gone. Guy's fucking gone. Guy's not here anymore. I see I had a guy. He's gone. Nobody takes my job seriously. Nobody takes my fucking job seriously. I don't do shit there. Oh, no. Guy's gone. Go off. Fuck off.
God. He spends a lot of time, like, in Tony Khan's office, like, as though, like, Tony Khan's the hospital administrator and, you know, like, he's Dr. House.
So Tony Khan is Cuddy being like, okay, but you do have to, you can't handcuff wrestlers to medical beds. And our guy is like, I fucking can't.
What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Wow. I just don't understand how we don't have our promotion yet. Like, no one will give us our billionaire funding for some reason. Anyway, so then they drive off the Death Riders. Hangman's standing there. He's looking like, his body is just like looking so good. Like, I was like, you can't not make him the champion. Look at his proportions. Like, it's just like, this is crazy.
There's a reason he won that bracket. Yeah.
Beautiful people should be handed things.
I'm not the one who said it, but I thought it. Well, I just mean, it seems like, you know, he just looks so perfect. And then
he looks
Will
so
Ospreay
good.
Is back there, and he is a beautiful man with a beautiful body, but somehow in every shot of this scene, he just looked like a little skronk. And I kept thinking, like, it's like, that's your kid brother who it's like, you're in an 80s movie and like, you're going off on some dangerous adventure. And then at some point he pops up in the back seat and you're just like, you're not supposed to be here. And he's like, I'm so excited to be on this adventure with you. And then the whole time you're just like feeling so guilty because he's getting like kidnapped by raiders or something. I don't know what 80s movie this is, but you're just like, oh fuck. And then I'm in charge of him. That's the vibe there.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely right. It.
And then
the pop culture we're touring through in this episode, you guys, is honestly top tier, I think. It's
okay, one thing about us, you can never accuse us of only watching wrestling.
Certainly not. Certainly you could accuse us of barely watching wrestling and only watching other things. But we, you know what? We bring a rich variety of ideas and perspectives to this stigmatized world of professional wrestling.
You're welcome.
You put that sign on the door, no women allowed. We take the sign off the door, we peek our heads in, we say, have you guys watched any movies from the 80s recently? Do you want to go to Blockbuster and rent some? And then Mox also fought Mark Briscoe. And there was a lot of blood, and it was a pretty fun match, and Mox seemed pretty revved up. Leah, do you wanna say what you said about it?
Figging stable redeemed.
I was like, I didn't know it was ever in the dirt. I've always said that it works.
Both, I will get to Keddy, but both Keddy and Mox really gave off the vibe of like, guys, I hadn't visited the figging stable a lot.
I forgot we had that.
I forgot we had one. Guys, I'm a new man.
That really is like, you know, like once a year, your company will like send you some email being like, you guys don't seem to have remembered that you have a free subscription to Mind Brain Bath, which teaches you how to meditate. Like, please download it. It's free. It's $140 value. That's Tony set out his annual and desperately because he was like, some of them need to go there. And I'm worried that they won't. So he sent out the email being like, guys, please never forget that we have that figging stable.
And it's $140 value. You'd have to pay good money for that figging elsewhere.
I'm like, actually, it's like, what is the cost to buy a knob of ginger? Quite low. So I would recommend.
It's true, but then you have to have somebody to put it in.
You don't think they can do it themselves? I feel like that could be.
Well, I mean, it seems like not a full service figging stable, then it's more of like a ginger dispensary.
I'm having some thoughts that I don't think it would be appropriate to get into just about, you know what, I think we'll skip it for now, but maybe behind the paywall someday, we'll discuss.
Our Patreon has our medical details and our opinions of figging.
Well, and honestly, it is a medical detail, though, because I'm just thinking about, should I even say it? Just maybe just I'll say it to you guys. Flared base. Yeah. Oh, so you've really got to choose the right.
That's true.
You know,
I don't think you should bleep that because I mean, it's
you think it's important. You think it's good advice. Concern.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. People need to remember that.
But you could carve your ginger into a beautiful plug, and maybe that's what you're paying for. That's really the value that you're paying.
Yeah, they have a special ginger whittler back there that makes $140 an hour.
It is so alley-typical.
To be the ginger whittler.
They're doing beautiful craftsmanship.
Yeah, it's so alley-typical to be like, I wonder if you can get a craftsman. Like, I would love to, like, pay for somebody who's been doing it for years, and he's a beautiful knife. Loving knife.
Oh, my God.
He's been in the family. And when he carves the ginger, oh, my God, it's one of a kind. It's one of a kind.
Well, yeah. It would be one of a kind. Every piece of ginger is different. Flared,
so.
And the base, of course, is safely flared. Wow. And that's what Tony is providing for his wrestlers. You can't say that he doesn't give them anything. It's free. Of course, it is $140 per year value.
Of course, free artisan ginger to wake you up when you try to quit your job.
You getting this staple? Okay, we can't talk about this anymore. Mark Briscoe did explain in a promo on Collision why passing out is honorable and tapping out is for cowards. And some listeners rightly flagged that this is something that we've brought up before, and we've never fully
Mark
understood.
Gallup, I think.
Hi to our lovely girls. Friend Marcus Gallup. Girls, you need to hear this.
Girls, they finally explained it to you.
They finally explained it. On the one hand, I do see how it makes sense. But on the other hand, I was just like, these guys haven't heard about leaving. These guys haven't heard about, like, don't like it, leave. They don't know about Dick Airzone. Just walk out. That's what some of us have different values.
What is the real winners quit?
Real winners quit. That's why we're not wrestlers.
Mark Briscoe's like, I have to teach my son never to quit. And we're like, teach your son to quit.
Sometimes quitting is the only path. Don't teach him to never quit. Teach him to try, but teach him to quit if he has to.
Yeah.
I can teach him to pass out.
Reasonably.
Passing
the wisdom to know the difference.
Causes minor brain damage.
Oh my God, that's right.
The wisdom to know the difference.
Should we create a new serenity prayer for
Yeah. We're probably halfway there. Well, that was all one category. So luckily, I think the rest of these are much shorter. Okay. Do you even want to talk about MJF and the Hart Syndicate had an in-ring segment where MVP yelled at the tag team division for sucking, and he sucks, actually, and I didn't think that it was good. And then MJF did some racism ahead of that Arena Mexico show. And, we said, like, we're only saying what we see, and we're not pre-forecasting, but I'll be very surprised if MJF is planning to lose a match. So it's like there's not going to be any catharsis for it, you know what I mean? It's like you're just doing racism and winning? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the racist always wins. I don't know why they think this is entertaining. Like, and he's so lazy. It's just he has three greatest hits, and there's sexism, racism, and, like, making fun of the city he's in.
Yeah.
It's just like, God, you're so, like, he's creative on the level of FTR at this point.
That's so savage, but probably lower, because they've at least done some.
They've innovated. Done some interesting
stuff.
They
brought Nigel and Tony to us, did they not? For the rest of our lives,
I have some things I'm going to bring up about FTR too. Where I'm like, I think there's probably some strange minds hidden in there.
I don't know when you're going to bring them up because I didn't even put them on the schedule. So if you want to bring them up now. I left them off the schedule, so.
I was going to bring this up at the end when you say, girls, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Sorry,
I was, no, but I will say it now.
Yeah, say it.
It was fucking crazy that Cash said, I have something for Stokely to read to you all. And Stokely read it. And it was, in fact, part of Nelly's country grammar. Like, what?
I don't know what's going on with them, but they keep, Stokely will cut these promos for them. And somehow it's like just the disconnect between what's going on with them and what's going on with Stokely is so extreme that I leave everyone being like, I don't know what I heard. I actually don't. Yeah. Like, I remember so much less than when they were just saying their own crazy stuff. Because I'm just like, what's this for? Now, what are you guys up to these days?
I am pretty sure that that joke had to be entirely from Stokely. And Cash just approved it without really listening. Because I would be shocked if Cash knew what country grammar was.
I don't know what that man knows. I don't understand him. I don't know him.
1 hour later.
Okay, anything else you guys want to say about Anthony Owens or anything else you wanted to talk about that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Yeah, I got to bring up something really important.
Okay.
And I need you to do some, like, really ninja editing because earlier I said that Cash was referencing the Nelly song Country Grammar. Oh.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, it was EI. So I'm going to record some pickups. And I need you to just edit them.
You do those now?
Great.
And I know that last week I silenced you. And this is your chance for vengeance.
Yeah.
But instead, I think you should just really, like, really make me look so good and cool. What do you think about that?
Record those
her
pickups.
Face is so unreadable. I love it.
I could do anything. You don't know.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
All right. I know I'm going to get a bunch of tweets that are like, it wasn't country grammar, it was EI. Yeah, I know. I listened to the whole fucking album.
She knows, Anne. And
do not at reply me.
Well, anyway, so then the Hurt Syndicate got interrupted by Commander Speedball Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight. And Speedball spoke in his lovely little Quebecois French, and he told MJF to, like, shut his ass or something. I don't know. And then they wanted to fight the Hurt Syndicate, but MVP was like, no. So instead they fought LFI, and Roosh and Kevin Knight really smacked each other up. And for some reason, I don't know what it was, but it really hit for me. I was like, wow, these guys have got to fight again. Don't know why. And then some more stuff, and they're going to – Hurt Syndicate will fight the Sewer Hole Boys 2.0 next week. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on.
I'm glad Kevin Knight is back.
I know. Yeah. And I like that I kept thinking, because he was in Battle of the Super Juniors. Nick Wayne, who we'll get to shortly, was in Battle of the Super Juniors. So I keep being like, it's so fun they sent him with a chaperone. And I hope that Kevin Knight really kept a firm hand on him and then was calling home to his very normal boyfriend, Speedball Mike Bailey, to be like, having a really nice time. Nick's a little out of control, but I'm doing my best. I'm excited to see you again.
I thought you were going to say calling home to Nick Wayne's dad, but you started to say very normal. And I was like, that's a weird way to describe it.
I would never describe Christian Cage that way. No. All right. Tony and Mina fought Julia Hart and Sky Blue on Dynamite. And then Mercedes Moné joined commentary and said, since I love serving looks and eating up the competition, I think I'm going to enjoy this match way better with a table for one. Bring me my table and my steak. I sat up. I sat straight up. I said, God, I wish I had a steak. This woman suddenly was speaking to me directly into my ear. She said, get a steak. I couldn't. Wasn't a good time for it.
I was so obsessed with that because the whole time I was like, this is a fetish for somebody. Like, Mercedes just sitting there
free.
Scornfully eating a steak. I know perverts would pay for this.
I don't know if they, I didn't really notice how much steak came out. So I don't know if she, like, didn't actually eat any of the steak or if she just had, like, four stakes. But when, at the end of this, skipping forward, Tony and Mina win the match. Tony, Luther carries Tony out of the ring and carries her over to the table, and Tony picks up a full steak, untouched, and rips a chunk out of him, which is also a fetish for someone, for sure. I was just like, I was sick with jealousy. I was like, Mercedes, did you not even eat a bite of that steak? I've been sitting here craving a steak for 20 minutes, and you didn't even have one bite? So in that way, Tony was for the people.
I was obsessed with hearing the reportage that Dave's reaction was, Mercedes was advertised on commentary, but we didn't actually get her on commentary. She sat next to commentary and, you know, it wasn't what was advertised. That's hilarious. Do you think that there were people who tuned in because they were like, I need to hear what Mercedes says? No, she was never going to say anything that interesting. Her doing a steak bit was so much better than whatever, like, she was actually going to have to say.
Well, the funny thing is that, so she had said, I heard her be like, bring me a steak to my table. But I did think that she was still going to have a headset. And at one point, shortly thereafter, commentary was like, and we apologize that we don't have that sound for Mercedes Moné. And I was like, classic garbage promotion stuff. They can't get the sound to work. And then eventually I was like, oh no, she just doesn't have a headset because she's eating her steak and drinking her wine. And they're just talking about her eating her steak and drinking her wine. And my response, I'm like, Dave, was, that's so fucking funny. That's so fucking funny.
Yes. It's such a weird thing to do. I love Mercedes getting weirder and weirder the longer she's here.
It's amazing.
It's classic comedy perfection for you to set something up that you, like, the audience expects, and then don't give it to
different
them.
Payoff.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Different payoff. Steak payoff.
And, like, she might as well have been eating a rat on a stick vibe-wise, you know, which I love.
Well, because she kept, like, taking selfies, and then she was, like, taking video of Tony and being like, you're trash, Tony. And it was just like, who's that for? Like, I guess it probably went on Instagram. It was fun. I loved it. It was a fun match, too. Commentary had a lot to say about her wine. Someone on commentary said that they could identify wine by the smell. They were like, someone was like, what's she drinking? And someone else so promptly was like, it's a Cabernet. I can smell it. And then later, Kaz seemed to have forgotten that and said that she was drinking a Pinot Noir. Girls, what's going on here? They were all getting the giggles.
They were so, I think the commentary was more obsessed with the wine than the steak, because they kept bringing it up as if they were like hoping to like passive aggressively like hint that she should pour them some wine. Like he was like, that wine looks great. I wish I had some.
Like, we never get to have wine at commentary.
We're fucking here for 4 hours. Can somebody give us wine?
Very funny. If I were on commentary, I would have been asking for the steak. It would have been like, well, some of you want wine, but some of us want some nice red meat because we have a deficiency. Please. All right.
Allie, keep it on the medical Patreon.
Come I'm
on.
So sorry. You're right. That's supposed to be paywalled. Well, you can bleep it.
Giving it away for free.
Taz, do you guys remember why at the end of this match, who was on commentary? Was Ian Riccaboni on commentary? Yeah. I think it was. He said, Taz, you may not be the romantic type, but I'm starting to get romantic about All in Texas. I said, what happened earlier in this match that Cassidy's not the romantic type? And what do you mean get romantic about All in Texas? But I guess when you're gearing up for a 4-hour show, it was like there were kind of like some like 24-hour dance marathon vibes.
Whatever happens, yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about any of that? Let's move on. Nick Wayne, as mentioned earlier, returned from Battle of the Super Juniors and had a backstage segment with his stern father and vampy mother on Dynamite. He looked so proud of himself for having done really good international competition, but Christian was like, you literally didn't even win the tournament. So I don't know why you would expect your father's love. He mentioned that Nick had a grueling schedule, wrestling 14 matches in 22 days. Nevertheless, Christian said time to keep wrestling and had set up an ROH TV title defense for him on Collision later that night. Nick Wayne didn't look super thrilled. Then Christian said, now Shayna, let's go find a place to lay down. I mean, actually, maybe we should watch this one up close. And don't worry, Kip's working on an even bigger surprise.
He just kept going, what does it mean? What does it mean?
What does he mean? What does he mean?
This was a point where I was like, wow, I've watched the same segment from MJF like 4 times a show for the past 12 weeks, and Christian gets 2 minutes, and he says things that I've never imagined.
It's like, in some ways, he's done this segment before, of course, but he always finds something to say that's a brand new, what do you mean? What could it possibly mean? And then, obviously, we've admitted, like, listen, we did our best. With good attitudes and sleepy hearts, we saw as much of the show as we could, and we caught up as much as we could today. As far as I can tell, Kip did not show up with a surprise on Dynamite or Collision.
Which leads one to believe that the surprise must have been for Christian and Shayna wherever they were laying down, I think.
Why would he say, don't worry, to Nick Wayne about it? Like, Nick Wayne is standing there like, Dad, just before you go, I'm worried that you might not be planning to do anything weird and sexual with Kip Sabian tonight. And yeah. Christian said, don't worry, dear boy. We certainly are planning something very strange. I don't know.
Their family is the one that keeps on giving.
don't make no sense. Just fine. It's just light color. Don't know what's happening. Love it. Let's move on. Okay. Tekla got a little video package with a mini spider-themed art film that I thought was incredibly cool. Looked really good. She got a recap of her debut last week. And then she had her debut match versus Lady Frost. She came out in a very cool jacket. As commentary informed us that she was, quote, fired by Stardom for attacking its president following a match in April. I loved this.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, I know that I do this, sometimes I tune commentary out. So I'm certainly guilty of being like, and why didn't anyone mention X? And then someone who listens will be like, well, commentary did say it. And then sometimes it's like, well, the way they said it was kind of like, you know, it was an attention grabbing. Like, I need them to reach through the screen, like, and like get a hold of my shoulders and be like, Allie, you're going to want to hear this. I felt like this achieved that. Fired. I'm awake.
Yeah.
By Stardom for attacking. Awake. I thought this was really good. I'm like, oh, there's something there. There's something going on with this chick.
I loved it, and I hope they keep it going. Where, like, sometimes I hope there's a backstage segment where Tekla is like walking down the hallway and Tony passes her and she like lunges at him a little bit.
Just a little
like
spider flames
in the wall.
Yeah. It did beg the question of like, if you were fired for like in this economy, she still got a job. It gives you hope. It does give you hope. I thought the presentation was really good. She got a lot of like strobe lights. She had some kind of like heavy metal theme. Like, she looked really cool. I was immediately pretty into her.
Yeah.
And then she had this match and she kind of squashed Lady Frost, but I thought it was a fun squash. Like, it didn't feel, not to pit players against each other, but just like, we have had another, women's debut recently. I was like, I do prefer what's going on here than what's going on with Megan Bain. Although my heart stays open, Megan.
Yeah.
But there's a little more for me to work with here. She ended up getting into an argument with Paul Turner where I think that she said, I think the mic caught it, I don't give a fuck what you think, which I liked very much. And she won the match and then she reattacked Lady Frost, immediately, and Queen Aminata ran out for the save, and then Aminata got a backstage promo afterwards. She said, every single time someone new comes to AEW, they're trying to make names for themselves by any means necessary. Why? Well, this is where the best wrestle. But Tekla, I'm the one and only African queen, and you know what we do to spiders in Africa? We stomp on them left and right. And I liked that. I thought it was a simple but effective little promo where I was like, I like, you're acknowledging she's new. You're acknowledging that people come in and want to make a splash. Like, I don't know, something about it. I was like, that's clean. This works.
Yeah, I really liked it too. I love Queen Aminata. Yeah. I did think, you want to know what we do to spiders in Africa is pretty funny because it's like, well, we do that everywhere.
Don't,
yeah,
don't think you're so special. Okay, I've smashed a spider or two in my time. Well, she did like a little joke where there was something that she said, and then she was like, and you can Google that. And I was like, I'm on a tight timeline, so I actually can't, but I will look into it later, perhaps. I really liked, like, Tekla did have some, like, she's got, like, these spider-themed moves, and they do look really cool. Like, I feel a little like a baby being like, the moves are themed, and that looks really good. But she was doing these moves, like, in the rope, where she's, like, being a spider in the ropes, and I was like, I don't know, looks great. Like, I'm a simple woman.
I know. Her main spider move is, like, so cool looking, and I do feel a little bit like the Chikara guy being like, everyone knows what an ant is, you know? But, like... It is, like, having a theme gimmick
rare
is
Mike
fun.
Quackenbush reference on the podcast.
Everyone understands an ant. Grandmothers understand ants, little children.
To be honest, if you said that about a spider, it would make so much more sense.
Everyone knows what a spider is.
Oh, my God. And then, can I read this? I was watching this segment because it was late on Collision, so I had to rewatch it today. So I was typing this up while I was watching it. Can I read what I saw? What I saw from Tony and Nigel. This is their only chance because we cut FTR out of the sketch. So, okay. So Queen Hamanada gives this program promo. We cut back to Tony and Nigel on commentary. He's always doing this. He's sitting there rubbing his hands together like he's trying to craft a little supervillain plot and leaning into Tony, which is just like, you guys do, you know, it is a Collision thing. I understand why if Taz is sitting next to this, he's like, what the fuck?
He's like, Taz, an anti-romance.
Taz's vibe this episode of like, what is happening? Like, why?
It's like,
when did you guys get married? I didn't even hear about it.
Always happened. Taz is like, I just ask you to keep it out of the office. And everyone's like, no. So Nigel's like rubbing his hands together, leaning into Tony. And he goes, Tony's just being like, oh, wow, and what a debut, and so much to think about. And Nigel goes, whoa, she might want to close her mouth or she could get bit. And Tony made this face. He's, like, staring straight ahead. And he just makes this face that so completely is like, babe, don't tell women what to do with their mouths. Please, you're embarrassing me. And then it's just like, yes, well, anyway. And Nigel just keeps leaning and rubbing, you know? It's like, wow, you are a freak. You would be a lot to handle on a trip to Disney World or whatever. You're out of control. All right. Anything else to say about any of that? Mm-mm. Am I moving at a breakneck speed or is this normal? Can you tell?
I think it's normal. I accidentally had almost an entire bottle of wine. So
love that.
Everything's a little bit fast for me, but I think it's normal.
Everything's a little fast. You know, so I don't know what speed is normal
for me
anymore.
The room is spinning, babe. Okay, well, you keep riding that bottle. Kenny had an international four-way match for his belt, and one of our classic. No one could expect us to comment on the wrestling, certainly, but he seemed very active, and he got a lot of pyro for his entrance. And, you know, he has his little warlord costume that he wears or something. I hadn't fully appreciated maybe that it's kind of in that, like, Anthony Bowens, like, wow, why is it cut that way? Like, it just, like, bears his whole center stomach.
It's the Omega symbol, but for what?
I didn't, you know, the pyro made it difficult to appreciate that fully, to be honest.
But it is that, like... It's like you have like a shoulder piece and then it's cropped kind of up to the nips, like just above the nips.
Yeah. Leah, do you want to say, like, do you think that it makes sense for Kenny eyelining his nipples?
Yeah, given what you said.
Okay. Listen, on this podcast, we're brutally honest. We always tell you the truth.
I think we're pleasantly honest.
I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
As much as I love Kenny, and you know I love Kenny, I think he might have the worst raccoon.
It was when you said that, it was just like, wow, the worst. Yeah. But then it was like, well, maybe.
Yeah, it's like I had never thought about it, but looking at it, I was like, yeah, it is weirdly terrible despite his big, gross muscles.
He has extremely tiny nipples, like proportionally tiny
really
nipples.
You like those. But
I don't like tiny nipples. I never have.
She never has.
The bigger, the better.
You know I love jeans with a bit of stretch.
I love the pepperoni guys. I don't like the Tic Tacs. And Kenny's are on Crooked.
Mm. You, Crooked Tic Tacs.
You put them on Crooked.
I hope nobody sends this clip to Kenny.
Stop it. Stop it.
Kenny never know.
Stop it.
Kenny never. Kenny never know.
Years. We've spent years complimenting him. He can't. This is not what he's going to hear.
He can't hold one incident of saying he has the worst record. They're not. Okay. It's not worse than Chris Jericho's.
I can't. Although we may have been more complimentary of Chris Jericho's. I mean, it's not worse. It's not
all
worse.
Bodies are good bodies.
All bodies
certainly
are good
certainly all
bodies.
Guys are. You know, just because you don't have the best rat doesn't mean you don't have good other.
You have other parts. Great qualities. Your sense of humor.
Everybody
for one.
Has good personalities.
Your sense of humor is. Well, much to consider.
I'm sorry,
there.
To Kenny. I'm sorry,
he'll,
to Kenny.
He'll never know. He'll never know.
You're a scientist. You say what you see.
You
see. Got to.
You say what you see. And Kenny, we loved your pyro, except Anne said it was a bit much, which I kind of agree with.
I was a little bit like, wow, Tony Khan's really trying to win Kenny back, I guess. But
I don't know why
it was working.
I guess.
It worked.
I guess. I think that is it.
I'm still a little bit mad at Kenny. Like, I mean, he's trying in matches, but he was always kind of trying in matches, and I feel like I'd like him to just tell a little story.
Well,
tell me a little story about you and Okada, you know?
Let's get to that. Okay, let's get to that. So Kenny wins this match that I'm sure was great. Who knows? And he retains his title, and afterwards Okada comes out. And Okada is wearing this little paisley suit. I mean, big. It's a big suit. None of these.
Loved
all
it.
These suits are so strange. God bless.
I love it so much. It's one of those things where I'm like, now, what are you trying to say with this fit?
Leah, I love how throughout most of this podcast, I didn't really see your wine glass. And then you told us you drank like a whole bottle. And now you
it's
are
all
like Coach. You're Connie Britton in Friday at Lights. Your wine glass is getting bigger and bigger.
It does because of perspective.
She's holding it like close to the video.
It looks like in the SNL.
Yep.
Listen, I had a rough couple days
Dude,
at work.
You are so nervous. Right.
Yeah.
I warned my girls. I said tonight
no
I will
one's
be drinking
mad.
A bottle
no
of wine.
One's mad, but we must
no,
laugh.
I love
I'm,
it.
I'm on my tequila. I'm always having tequila during the show now, and I think it's like
wow.
really cool.
I had a Coke Zero.
That's cool too, man. Okay. Okada is wearing this. I think that the vibe with Okada is that he like went to a thrift store and some fashionable old man had just donated his entire wardrobe. And Okada was like, I can't miss out on any of these. And it's like, well, he's not your size. But Okada was like, what am I going to do?
Like, they're a little big, but I think it still works. And his friends were like, totally.
Can you go to one tailor? He said, no. No. Heart, no. So he comes out. He's in this paisley suit. It kind of matches Kenny's leggings. So that's...
Yeah, they definitely went together.
Yeah, that's fun. I like that. And commentary said... He has been taunting Kenny Omega for months. I said, in my opinion, footage not found.
Not found not whatsoever. No. He looked at Kenny once.
Yeah. I've seen him taunt people, and usually there are some words involved.
There are some words involved. I would not say we've gotten to that level with him. Okada approaches Kenny in the center of the ring. They're both holding their belts, so they kind of smack their belts at each other, like, look at my belt. No, you look at my belt. And then they... kiss their belts against each other's cheeks. So this was, I mean, it was ritualistic, which I liked. I was like, wow, you guys are going through a lot of phases of stuff you're doing with the belts. And then they smack the belts. And then Kenny initiated fisticuffs. And so then they're fighting and they're punching each other. And violence is happening. And Okada, okay, so then, so the match has got, the match later in the show, it's like, it's been set for All In. We're getting Okada Omega. Okay, so it's on the books. So now, boys, it's time to get down to business. Let's think about what's going on here. So two things. One, I thought that Okada's affect in this exchange and the look on his face when he was dealing with Kenny, because at one point he'd like knocked Kenny down and he had like a little blood on his mouth or something. And he was looking at Kenny and he was kind of like licking his lips. And I was like, okay, this is the craziest that you've looked in like a real way where it's like, oh, something psychological is happening with you. I really celebrated it. I thought, mm-hmm. okay, I believe this is the beginning of that energy that some have told us these legendary matches have. Kenny did not quite have that look. Kenny looked kind of like man no. who got knocked over a little bit, you know, just like normal man with crooked nipples got knocked over. And Okada, what happened? Kenny was like going to get him or something. And then Okada like skedaddled. I don't remember quite the end of this, but Okada leaves and he still has that crazy look on his face. But I asked myself, and now I'll ask you girls, what drove Okada to do this now? Did something happen?
No idea.
The match was supposed to get announced, I guess.
Yes, he heard the match was going to be announced. I don't think there's any kayfabe explanation for, like, something happened to Okada, and he was like, I have to go engage with Kenny as a result. Like, I'm so messed up about this. I've got to go see my ultimate rival. I think it would have been, if I missed it, feel free to tell me. I'll go back and find it and watch it. If it didn't happen, I think it would have been nice if it happened. I would have liked there to be a beat that led to this beat.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you're right. Okada did look crazy. And I think he's so expressive. He's good at that when he locks in. But otherwise, this was a very rote little exchange of fisticuffs. FTR could have done this, not to...
Well, they're just coasting on the New Japan stuff, which I'm like, you're fill in the lines a little bit. You could do
It's like, guys, just, like, you're both capable. Just...
Yeah,
get in there, do some promos, tell me what's going on with you now. And it's like, even if they had done this feud in AEW 3 years ago, they would still need to do a feud now. So
can I
lock in?
Can I tell you, I'm so glad you said it again. I went to see my friends have a baby, a recent baby. He's like a month. I don't know. He's like a month and a half.
They got one of those recent babies.
Releases. I'm having a problem where I'm like, he was in the NICU, so I'm like, how old is the baby? Whatever. Anyway, he's breastfeeding. I went over to hang out with them. I'm hanging out with them. At one point, the baby is like not wanting to, I don't know, like not wanting to like do something that it's supposed to be doing. Actually, wasn't breastfeeding. You might have to cut all this. I don't know. She's trying to get the baby to like focus on the bottle or something. And she just goes, lock in. And I was like, dude, what the fuck did you just say to your baby? And she's really sportsy. So she was like, her vibe was just like, work through the pain. Let's go. Like, we're on a run. Lock in. And I kept saying it for the rest of the night. I'm holding this baby and I just go, lock in. And now I'm just thinking about Kenny and Okada as like our little babies. We're cradling them and we just go, lock in. Time to feed. I agree. I'd like to see him lock in. I want more. I want this intensity. I want some insight into where the intensity comes from. I know, guys, I know we have the links. I know we can go back and watch the matches. We're not trying to be babies. We're not trying to say, like, you know, we don't believe that the history matters. I'm just saying you have to do it here. You have to do it here too.
Yeah.
You have to give us the little recap.
I will say this, though.
Yeah, say it.
When members of our Discord, the last time we just talked about this and we said, please genuinely tell us what is the germ of the, you know, feud that they had in New Japan. And we had two beloved people in our channel try to explain it to us. And I will say that both of those people said that Kenny's, like, focus during the Kenny Okada feud was actually about Ibushi. Like, nobody could actually tell me what Kenny felt about Okada, because they were just like, well, he was messed up about Ibushi. And I was like, right, but he wasn't fighting Ibushi. And then the Okada stuff, like, the Okada side of it also was just like, well, Kenny was annoying, and he just kept coming back. Like,
well, annoying doesn't get the face that you got from... I thought it was a very good face from Okada. So it's like, well, what does it mean now? You know, years down the line, what's going on with you, dude?
Right. So you have some room to talk about this. Like, you have some room to make a meal out of this. Let's do something
Eat. Hey, go to Swerve's Redwall Abbey, and let's have a poppin' feast.
Have a little feast.
Pasties and onion soup, baby.
Yeah. And again, the problem isn't even so much that it happened at a different promotion, because, like, if it had happened at AEW 3 years ago, I'd still want to see it now. Like, if Hangman and Swerve had another feud right now, I would want them to do more than just, like, glare at each other.
Yeah.
You know? I would,
yeah.
And they would do more. And I know you guys have both cemented your legacy already and you're coasting on your laurels, but, like, Get it together.
Just tell us a story. Tell us a damn story.
And honestly, yeah. it's very interesting to be like, we've had some of these, like, some of the most legendary matches in all of wrestling, and now we're here again together. The tequila girls. We're here again together. Like, we're older. We're, the human mind is only becoming more complex with each year that it ages. So it's like, because you got more junk in there, you know? And it's like... So what's going on with you guys? How do you feel about this? Like, everyone is chanting for you to fight. Like, was there a point where you were like, no, I don't need to go back there. But then, like, something is pushing you there, like, other than Tony Khan being like, I will be booking the match. You know what I mean? Like, let's just play in the space, right. Maybe.
And it seems like Kenny's focus is really the Young Bucks. So it's like, If the first match was really about Kenny, like, working out his feelings about Ibushi on Okada... Now he's working out his feelings about the Bucks on Okada. I'm like,
that's true.
We could do something fun here.
We can do that.
Where it's like Okada's like, see me. I am not a stand-in.
I'm not a stand-in. I'm a person, and my name is Okada. Those are our free ideas of the night. All right. Max Caster returned with his 5-minute open challenge. This week he'd brought. Actually, he debuted the petition on Collision, where he had a group of people backstage learning his chant. Extremely funny little segment. And then he brought the petition to acknowledge that Platinum Max is, in fact, the best wrestler alive to the ring. And he said in the funniest voice of all time, he goes, and Mr. Referee, I don't believe you've signed this yet. And then he took it over to the referee. He was like, what the fuck? And then he was like, well, while he's doing that, like, and then he led everybody in his horrible little chant. And they so placidly and sweetly were like, we love chanting with Max Caster. We love chanting, let's go, Max Caster, you're the best wrestler alive. And then after a pause, he said, I'll be honest, guys, that was bad, which was also extremely funny. And then Will Hobbs came out and murdered him. No notes. Perfect segment.
Perfect.
No notes.
Absolutely perfect.
So funny.
The fact that Dave Meltzer fucking hates it.
I don't get it. It's both of them, it's right? Perfect. Brian Alvarez hates Max Caster and thinks this gimmick sucks. I think, and Dave also does. It's like, what's going on, guys? What is wrong with this for you? What's wrong about it? It took up almost all the time. It's so funny. Anytime I'm not laughing, I'm looking at Max Caster's huge fucking tree trunk thighs. Bottom heavy Max Caster. My man.
I know, and the little faces he does every time, like, some huge monster comes out.
Just like, how?
He's like, that's not fair. Like, never get tired of it.
Nothing is funnier. It's such perfect cartoon energy to be like, he can't learn. It's not in his programming. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's only 2D.
And literally, what else would be happening? Like, Will Hobbs would squash some local jobber, and it wouldn't be as fun. So,
perfect.
Literally, what's the problem?
It's perfect. I don't understand how you cannot like this. And I don't understand how you cannot understand why the crowd wants to chant it. Like, it's so funny. Right.
I'm obsessed with the fact that they did a very similar Collision segment where he had a group. I don't think I understood the beginning of it. He had a group of people in the room. Do you know why those people were even assembled?
I thought they were like employees. Like, I thought it was basically like he got employees together to be like, everybody learn my chant and sign my petition. So
he was like, you guys are all going to want to take a picture with me later, but first sign this petition. And then he led them in the chant. But the thing is that he framed it very much as like, you won't actually want to do this. But the thing is that Max Caster is so beautiful. Yeah. And this is such a funny gimmick that everybody in the room was like, yeah, we'll chant and we'll sign the petition. And so he definitely rolled with it perfectly. It was still so funny. But I think like he was like, I really set that up so that you guys would reject me.
Well, I thought it was funny, too, that in front of the crowd, it's like they did it so nicely that he clearly was like, I would love to be able to, like, what am I going to do? I can only tell them they did it badly. Like, I have to do something. You can't just let the chant sit there like, wow, you guys did my chant amazing. That's not the point. I don't know. It's so funny. I love him. I don't care.
I mean, and he's reacting perfectly. Yeah. Like, he's handling it. Like, you would never really guess that anything was different. It's just, you know, like, there's certain things where you're like, I think he was he was assuming that no one would go for sure with this, but he's handling it perfectly. I mean, it's just such a funny, perfect segment. He's a perfect person.
Gotta give it to, he's got a real high charisma score. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh yeah. In spite of himself.
Yeah. And he always looks so delighted when he comes out there. He's like on the verge of cracking up. It's so fun.
I just cannot help it. I love him. Okay. Megan Bain and Penelope Ford had attacked Anna Jay because of the matches, as you know. And so they were making an example of her for Harley Cameron, not present, and trying to throw her off the ramp when Ty Mello's music hit and she returned to save Anna Jay. And she's been gone for, I don't know, how many years? Years, right?
I feel like that baby is a year old. Yeah.
So probably almost 2 years-ish, probably.
Got to be close to 2 years. Yeah.
Very fun to see her. She ran out and tried to attack Megan Bain. Both women were restrained by security. I said, I must see the flowchart that security is using to make decisions about when to intervene because it doesn't seem consistent to me. They were right there. It was like, okay, I don't know. Let them fight a little. Why not? We don't have to pull them off each other right away. What do you guys think of return of Ty Mello, if anything?
Of course, I'm so happy to see her because she was from, our start. So I feel like she's an old friend.
Our mommy daughter.
But, but of course, I struggle because she is returning as half of a tag team that makes me so crazy because it's the Sean Bean tag team where I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Why don't your names rhyme?
Tay J. I just say Tay J. It doesn't drive me crazy because I'm like, well, I'll say how I want. Tay J.
Say Sean.
Sean Bon. Mom. Mom.
Scene Bean.
Scene Bean.
Ty Jai.
Oh, God, girls. Happy to see her. I was excited happy she returned. The women's division.
I always liked her better than Sammy, and now I like Sammy. I know. So really, she's got the sky as a ceiling.
I know. Our friend Nicole very reasonably was like, I hope that she's not going to have a relationship with Sammy on screen again. Commentary, though, did immediately reference her husband, Sammy. And I've just been so Stockholm by Sammy now that I'm just like, yeah, let him kiss and bring me another rat on the stick while you're... I'm like, who cares? If it makes them happy. So, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think there's anything else to do there. Yes, final segment. Okay. Right. I didn't want to rewatch a lot of this because it wasn't interesting. The AEW, the All.com recap said, in a brief but significant backstage segment at AEW Fighter Fest. And if that's not proof that they're using AI, I don't know what is. It wasn't even significant. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So the segment they're referencing is that Adam Cole, along with the underutilized Roddy Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, approached Danny Garcia to be like, listen, we've had our differences, but I think that we have our similarities as well. And and I want to defeat the Don Callis family. I bet you do too. So let's team up because we have a shared mutual respect for each other. And Danny, I don't know what's going on with him right now, but he was in his most serious, I'm a big, tough boy mode. he was like, there's some other things I want too, but maybe, yes, we will team up. Should have written some more of that down, to be honest. So anyway, so he was like, yes, we can team up to fight the Don Callis family. And I think, actually, I don't even know if that is scheduled. No, it's not. So that was that. And then later in the show, I think that the Don Callis family was like, yeah, we'll fight you. Not right now, though. Because they had a fight. They had Hechicero join them, and then they fought Bandido and the Outrunners. And I didn't describe what they were wearing in that segment, but I did include a picture here for my co-host, and I would love it if maybe you guys could.
I recently, in our Discord channel, was like, I would like to buy a non-black or white t-shirt for All In. I wish somebody made a beautiful one. And I think it was our friend Ariel was like, all right, what about Kyle Fletcher's t-shirt? And she linked the one that he's wearing in this shirt in this picture, in the screenshot. And I was like, Ariel, be so fucking for real. That t-shirt.
It's not black or white.
It is pink.
Oh my God.
It is the kind of his t-shirt is terrible, but he's all like, he cut off the sleeves. He cropped and tasseled it. And then he's wearing like strangely like puffy white shorts.
For some reason, I can't even say it. Yeah. Puffy white shorts. Yeah.
So he's working some kind of weird 80s look.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Takeshita's wearing a tiny medium tank that perfectly frames his tits, and then his little gear shorts that
it looks like a mini skirt. Yeah.
Mini skirt.
Look at the screen cap. It's like you can't see that the fabric
It looks like Kyle is an 80s high school villain and Takeshita is his beautiful girlfriend he doesn't deserve.
Yeah.
It's always crazy when they wear their like gear bottoms when it's trunks or boy shorts with like a t-shirt or whatever. It's just like literally the sluttiest look you can possibly have.
Complimentary.
Remember when we liked CM Punk and he used to do that all the time?
Yeah. Not really though.
And then he ruined it because he has a rancid personality.
You've got to have a good personality. Kenny, see?
Yeah.
You know? So important. maybe cut that. Bullying. Okay.
He'll never hear it.
No one else will hear it. So no, don't worry about that. You guys can't even hear this. Cut it. No, just kidding. It's fine. Okay, so Kyle's making all these faces, blah blah blah. I don't think any of this matters. And then I noted that there were a lot of foreign language promos on the show, which I really liked.
Yeah, we forgot to mention earlier that.
No, I think I said he did his little typical reference. Yeah, but I just didn't say that it was a theme of the show, but it felt like a theme of the show. Yeah. There was a lot of people in their own language, doing promos in their own language, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. Absolutely loved it.
Extremely fun.
All right. And then this is the final thing. Did any of you watch this or was it just me? You have to take my word for it. Okay, but you have to take your word for it. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anthony Bowens had this promo with Billy Gunn and Lexi Nair is interviewing them. And he is like, I'm declaring this month the Pride of Pro Wrestling Month. Isn't that great, Billy? And Billy Gunn says, yes, I love it. And Billy Gunn is he's doing this kind of like arm thing. Like, I'm really here, Anthony. Yes. Gay month. And Anthony Bowen says, I want it to be full. And I want to have a month that's full of big moments, spectacular moments. Billy Gunn interjects and just says, joy. And then Anthony Bowens is like, there's a specific person that knows a big moment or two, a guy that's reinvented himself and turned himself into a proto-star. Yes, we're talking Kyle Fletcher. Anthony Bowens says he wants to whip Kyle Fletcher's ass all over Portland at Summer Blockbuster amongst the DVDs and VHSs next month. Billy Gunn, having realized who we're talking about, goes, Kyle Fletcher! Like it's a pop quiz. And the teacher was like, first person to say it gets a point. Kyle Fletcher! Anthony Bowens is just continuing his promo. And he says, the thing about me is that I have 5 tools and 1 rule. Prove them wrong. He's literally his vibe is like, okay, Billy, come on, we're leaving, we're going to the Pride Parade now. And Billy's he doesn't say he's going to the Pride Parade, but that's Billy Gunn's whole vibe. This whole promo has been like, my friend wants to take me to the Pride Parade and I would be proud to go with him.
I love my big son.
Everything about this very morning I saw an Instagram reel. There are these, I think this is who it was. There's these two guys that do a bit on probably Instagram and TikTok where they make up, New York Times crossword clues. And so they'll be like, these are potential clues for like Oreo. And they'll be like, black and white, maybe. And they do this, it's very funny. Anyway, but I guess one of them is gay and one of them isn't. And so the gay one was like, what do you think I'm doing on any given month? on any given day during Pride. And the straight one is being like, okay, it's a Monday morning. You're waking up at 6 a.m. He's like, no. Like, on, like, a day. You know, it's like a day. And he's like, okay, well, give me a day. Like, tell me which day of Pride. And he's like, okay, it's like a Saturday at the end of Pride. And he's like, okay, you're going to an event with three names, and I don't know what it is. You're going to the, like, Mulu concert at the, like, tapas bar, like, mariachi celebration, and I don't know if it's a place or a person or, like, that's the name of the event, and I don't know anything about it, but I'm so glad you're there. To me, that was Billy Gunn's vibe. Was the phone, she was like, what am I doing? It's Pride Month. What am I doing? And Billy Gunn was like, Kyle Fletcher! And I kind of loved it. It's my light understanding that Billy Gunn has been insensitive about being gay in the past. And I said, this is a good way to atone for your crimes. Just hype up a gay guy. Just hype up a gay guy. Just be there to be like, yes, Pride. Yes, gay. Yes, fight. And then go with him to the Pride Parade. And I said, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds incredible.
And do I understand why Anthony Bowens is fighting Kyle Fletcher, but he doesn't have anything to do with this DCF feud? Nope. No, with the Paragon has nothing to do with that, or Danny Garcia. No, I don't understand. And do I think there's a real problem with how many names and mottos he's throwing at us from week to week? Yeah, but somehow the more we get, by the time we got to 5 Tools, 1 Rule, prove them wrong, I was like, God, that's such nonsense. I don't know. Maybe I like it.
Unfortunately,
maybe I love it.
Unfortunately, I see myself fully onboarding it, except that I change my rule every time. Like, I have 5 Tools and 1 Rule. We need coffee.
You know, I do see that one getting a lot of use all in weekend.
Yeah.
I've got 5 Tools, 1 Rule. Yeah. So I don't know. He might have found a hit. He might have stumbled into a hit. And I guess sometimes you got to throw a lot of spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah. Got to try stuff.
You got to try stuff. Was there anything that you wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to say?
Me? No.
Oh, Leah? Okay, Leah said everything she needed to. Anne, you?
No, I'm
good. Oh, Anne's good. Okay, well, it's been a great night, guys. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
It's always Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, Blue Sky at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Another reminder, we will be doing a live Twitch June 22nd. I'm guessing it'll be sometime in the evening. And we live in the United States, America, Central and Eastern time. Take that as you will.
Don't dox us, Allie.
Bleep that. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. And as always, please come back next week.